Ladies and gentlemen, Control Issues presents the 2024 Trolley Awards. Yes, I am the AMC.
And this is a dub. You can find us at control-issues.com. You can also go to your podcast provider, whoever that may be. Look for Control Issues, download it, subscribe to it, rate it, review it. Mosey on over to Spotify, give your boy some spins in that realm. And then head on over to twitch.tv/controlissuespod, where we put up gameplay videos for your viewing pleasure. Also, we are up and running on Blue Sky. We just got to get more active on it, engage with you guys, let you know what's up. But if you want to engage with us, feel free to drop a line at controlissuespod@gmail.com. AMC, the nominees are.
Let's get into this, A-Dub. We have no special guest coming in. We don't got Keanu Reeves walking out on stage to present awards. It's just your boys, AMC and A-Dub. So yeah, we're gonna get right into this, and we will have a little bit of a discussion just about the year afterwards. But we got to get right to these winners and these nominees. Yeah, the way we look at it, the Trollies, it's our year in review, presented through our eyes. You might see some developers and games that we like and we like to talk about in here, but that's why you come here for us. So the first one, A Dub, that being the most anticipated game of 2025. Five,
Five,
five.
five.
Number one on the list, GTA 6. Number two on the list, Ghosts of Yotei. Number three on the list, Outer Worlds 2, and number four, Doom the Dark Ages. So, wanted to set things up with our show. Every now and then, we'll have, some categories we will agree upon a winner, and it will be a consensus winner of certain categories. And every now and then, we have to split it up because, we have personal preferences, and we're not going to do this thing where we're going to debate it back and forth for hours until one of us caves. We just go with our guts, and then we'll split it up if need be. So, in this category, we do have it split up between our most anticipated. So, I'll let you lead off, A-Dub. What is your most anticipated game of 2025?
Most anticipated. I mean, these are some heavy hitters. I mean, if you're just looking at them from a visual standpoint, if you're considering their pedigree, their legacy of, you have an idea of what to expect. But among these choices, the one that I expect the most from and my most anticipated game of 2025 is none other than GTA 666.
Six.
Ride to Hell Edition. No, but yes, GTA 6 sweeps this easily because, having triple dipped on GTA 5 and just rediscovering my love, not only for the GTA formula, but discovering that GTA 5 is, in fact, my favorite GTA. I held on to 4 for as long as possible. But GTA 5 eventually won me over with its current iteration on PS5 with the enhanced visuals and lighting, the 60 frames per second. So, I'm not expecting the same things out of GTA from the get-go. However, I am looking forward to the next iteration of that Rockstar magic. Hopefully they bring a lot of what they learned from Red Dead Redemption 2 over to the GTA space, because personally I feel that will just catapult it to the next level. So I'm very optimistic. And I'm very much anticipating GTA 6. AMC, what's your most anticipated game for 2025?
Oh man, this was hotly debated for me personally because there was a hot second where I was just right on board with A-Dub. Just give it that unanimous GTA 6 winner for Control Issues. I mean, how could you not like GTA 6, and how is it not the most anticipated game? It shuts down the internet whenever we hear anything. The next time we get a news dump from this game, it's going to shut down the internet again. They could put on the same day as the Super Bowl, and I wouldn't be surprised if GTA 6 would take over, the engagement when it came to the two events, because GTA is just that big of a thing worldwide. And yeah, It's not for me personally, just because of my history with another franchise, and that being the Doom series. So Doom Dark Ages being my most anticipated game of 2025.
Split decision.
Split decision. Had to go with Doom Dark Ages. You know, it just comes from my love of, first starting with Doom 2016. That was when I realized, like, oh, you know what? I could be really into first person shooter campaigns. Like, I enjoyed playing Halo, but that was from a co-op perspective. Any of the first person things, when I really think about it, a lot of it is based around co-op and in some experiences here or there. But Doom was the first one where I was like, I am actually enjoying this gameplay, I'm enjoying this story so much that when Doom Eternal came out, I couldn't wait to get that game, played through that, really enjoyed going through that. And then Doom the Dark Ages, there was this fear. We got the acquisition, Microsoft picking up Bethesda, ZeniMax, and that Doom might be a console exclusive on the Xbox. And it's just something that I was gonna have to accept, possibly have to pick up a Series S. Maybe eventually down the line get a handheld so I can play Doom the Dark Ages.
There we
But
go.
nah. Phil said, Phil and Satya, your boy Satya said, we're sitting there everywhere, we're getting that money. So we know that Doom the Dark Ages is coming to PlayStation. So I will be picking up that when that comes, and I will be able to enjoy that game and continue my love of this franchise of the Doom guy and everything that he slays in his path. I'm going to be having them skulls grinding in that gun, shooting out the shards of bone fragments to slice through my enemies and penetrate their orifices. Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing. It's easily my most anticipated game. Man, between that and I thought about putting Indiana Jones just for getting it on PlayStation. But yeah, I could be eaten thanks to what Microsoft sends our way as far as PlayStation. So yeah, definitely my winner for most anticipated, Doom the Dark Ages, A-Dub, GTA 6. But let's keep it rolling into the next category, A-Dub. What you got?
We're going to give you the nominees for retired troll comment.
Yes. You
So
want to set up the category?
this is a crowd favorite. This is where we round up all the
Yeah.
usual trolling remarks that are made throughout multiple years, and we determine which one has finally run its course and send the trolls back to the drawing board to come up with the next greatest troll comment to be retired. And the nominees in this category are Jeff Keighley is ruining the Game Awards and it needs to change. Chinese games are vaporware and tech demos, as well as Chinese sales don't count once these vaporware and tech demos came out. Next nominee is there's no more room for live service games. The market is oversaturated with hero shooters. And the last nominee is that Sony sends peripherals out to die. Oh man. So yeah, these were some tough ones. And you got to look at what happened this year to get each of these remarks on the list. Jeff Keighley put on one of the best Game Awards presentations ever. Not only was it just unanimously declared a quality show, but there were a lot of apologies. There was a lot of retrospectives. There was a lot of crow being eaten in regards to the show. With the Chinese games and vaporware and tech demos and the sales don't count. I mean, we know the story of Black Myth Wukong, how people thought it was more myth than Wukong, and eventually the myth became reality to a staggeringly successful result where the game cleared more than 20 million copies in like 3 weeks. Of course, once the vaporware tech demo that was never going to come out actually came out and achieved this monumental success, the next move of the goalpost was that, well, the sales don't really mean anything because they're mostly in China. And it's like, nah, you guys, sales are sales. Wukong did it. It's real. It's time to give it up. The next nominee, no room for live service. The market is oversaturated with hero shooters. Of course, this is a result of people focusing on the failures of Concord and Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League while completely disregarding the successes of Marvel Rivals and Helldivers 2 all in the same year. So that's what gets it on the list. And lastly, Sony sends peripherals out to die. We hear this whenever people look in retrospect to the various PSPs, the original PSVR, the PSVR 2. However, then along came the PlayStation Portal. And not only does this peripheral continue to sell, but it seems to continue to improve as an update was introduced that allowed higher tier subscribers to the PS Plus service to be able to stream games from their library without having to connect to their PlayStation 5. This was celebrated as a incredibly beneficial update to the peripheral and had made it even better than before. Nobody seems to know who PS Portals are selling to, but they keep on buying them. And those are our nominees, those are our reasonings, and the winner for retired troll comment via unanimous decision. Jeff Keighley's ruining the game awards and it needs to change. So as we explained to you guys, yeah, it wasn't just good. Like there were monumental announcements from beginning to end. It was a show that gave time to the developers as people complained previous shows have not. Nobody got played off. There was reverence paid to the pioneers and the icons of the industry, even though some of them didn't realize whether or not they needed to stay seated or try to get on stage. Jeff even got the Muppets back on there, but took a moment to use them as a vehicle to air the grievances and the criticisms of people who really just railed against the Game Awards for so many years. I mean, it was a lot of shutting up. It was a lot of just massive reveals, dream games, the likes of which a lot of us gave up hope on or never thought that we'd see again within our lifetimes. It was stupendous. So Jeff Keighley more than earned the right to have this troll comment stricken from the record. AMC, any comments?
No, yeah, pretty much you set it up all perfectly. I mean, we watched the Game Awards and, just going through it and just all the announcements, one, everything leading up to it, I should start off with, because there's a lot of questioning, like, oh, I'm not, there's not a lot coming out. There's not a lot of leaks, so that means there's probably not going to be any announcements. So there's already a setup for failure happening just based on the lack of information being leaked out from the event. So because there weren't leaks, that's a bad sign now, apparently. When people were complaining that the leaks were ruining the show, which is kind of funny in itself.
That's
Little do we know
hilarious.
that Jeff Keighley was working hard behind the scenes to, this was the, I believe it was the 10-year anniversary. So he was really working hard behind the scene with, with his partners to try to keep everything under wraps and just make this a big splash of an event. And they ended up delivering on that. And to the point, all those people who had their questions and their doubts really like had to go back on what they said. And that was a moment that I was actually pretty happy about, was that people did, correct their statements and did call themselves out. And usually you don't see that. Usually it's just we feed the negativity and then we move on. But this one, actually, everybody gave their props to Jeff Keighley. And that's the one thing. Like, I get it. People don't like when somebody is front and center, like Kojima, like Todd Howard, anybody who, Randy Pitchford, anybody who's just representing what they're putting out. And because of that, people tend to just assume that they have big heads and that they're just very flawed individuals. And they overlook the fact that these people are actually putting themselves on the line. And every time Jeff Keighley goes up there, he's going to take all the shots. And he made a point to work that into his show with the Muppets, the two old dudes just dissing him and
Just
repeating,
railing.
just repeating all the comment section stuff about Jeff Keighley and Kojima and all that good stuff. And yeah, they did a really good job of being self-aware to the point where, they poked fun where they felt like it was okay to poke fun, and they addressed the criticisms, in the way that, they didn't really have to, say anything, but people acknowledge that, hey, all these things that I didn't like in the previous years were handled a lot better this year. And yeah, and the people who needed more time to speak on stage got their time to speak. Like, there's still always going to be the, oh, I wish more developers got time, as opposed to, just having their thing announced on, like, in a batch. But the people who did win seem to have got their time up there, and they did a good job of, giving a bunch of different people time to speak instead of seeing, the same winners go up multiple times. You would see representation from just the different varying winners, and so I felt like they did a good job of pacing out the show, with alongside a lot of incredible announcements. So yeah, Jeff Keighley definitely took this one, and we could go through all the other ones, but we can always revisit them in another year, and because a lot of these show up again, and once they're enough evidence builds up, you can then officially retire them. So we'll get into those later. But yeah, as of now, Jeff Keighley, you're doing good, and continue doing what you do best, which is bring us some dope ass shows. That's enough of that. A dub. You know what? I want to give this one some time, so let's take a quick break and we will come back with our next category for the trolleys,
Category for the trolls.
A dub. And we are back, A dub, with the
Yes, y'all.
2024 Yeah, Trolley Awards. All right, let's get into this next category. This one being the most trolled. So yeah, this is always a fun one every year because we
Yes,
have
it
our
is.
A dub. He handles the troll of the week. So there's always something each week that we know is going to be pretty controversial, or just, it's going to point out what people are upset about for that week. And there's some that show up a little more often than others. So that's how you end up in the most trolled category. So here are not our nominees for the most trolled. Number one, A dub, that being PlayStation. Number two, DEI slash woke. We'll get into that. Number three, Ubisoft. Just
In general.
yeah. The next one, Overwatch. And last but not least, A dub, Microsoft.
Yeah, they were really making a case for themselves toward the end of the year.
Yeah, oh, they try to squeeze it all in towards the end of the year. Let's see. So let's go through each nominee. PlayStation, a couple things written down here. The big one, that being Concord being straight up just canceled after launch. Like, one of the quickest cancellations after launching a game. Game comes, first of all, just leading up to launch, not a lot of excitement. We get to launch, and we're not even hearing about the gameplay. We're just hearing about the character art. Then we're seeing just the numbers falling off of daily players, and within what, like a little over a week, Sony had pulled Concord, had suspended the game to, rethink about how they were gonna move forward with Concord, possibly re-release it in what is it, an offline mode, yada yada. And they decided, nah, we're just gonna cancel this shit. So Concord gets pulled away, and just goes away, and it's sad, but it was necessary. And that just feeds into the whole live service like initiative and people being upset about that. This really just being the statement on it after what, at the end of last year, Last of Us Factions getting canceled, and then Concord then getting canceled. It was just seen as, this is a disaster as far as Sony goes, to the point where people are then questioning their first party offering, if their community is being well fed with a steady diet of great games produced by Sony, and just all feeding into that. But that's not only the thing that PlayStation got hit on for the year. We also had PlayStation 5 Pro. So we have the big announcement. So it's being teased all year. Or it's being leaked all year, talking about it, rumors, everything. The big discussion is what's going to be the price, yada yada yada. So we get the announcement, we get the price, People immediately say it's overpriced. On top of that, we get the visual comparisons. People are saying, well, I'm not really seeing a difference like in the comparisons between the bushes in this one and the bushes in that one. So that's taking a hit there. Then there's the accusations of nickel and diamond with the PS5 Pro, with the sold separately stand and the sold separately disk drive. So now they're nickel and dime. So that's not really the full price of the PlayStation 5 Pro, what they're talking about, if you want all these other features with it. Then also this year, we had LEGO Horizon Adventures come out on the Switch. That's further accusations that Sony's going third party. So you know how it is. Nintendo will take any games that will come their way, and they're kind of used as like this, like what is, I forgot what it's called when two countries have a war on another country's soil. Like they're used as like this third party battleground. I think that's what
Or
Nintendo has
a staging area. A theater of war.
Or proxy war, I think this was like a proxy war. So let's see that. Then we keep it moving. We have a successful game come out, but still with his controversies, that being Helldivers 2, because Sony was like, we want y'all to have PSN accounts. And that includes everybody. You want it on PC? You're gonna get a PSN account. PC gamers were upset about it. They tried to revolt, but they ended up still playing the game, playing the shit out of it, buying the shit out of it. The game sold actually really well on PC, but yet that's still you can't overlook the fact that the PC community was not happy with the way Sony handled the PSN logins, and it'll be a continued debate moving forward with how Sony will handle their multiplayer games. But I feel like the PC people will eventually need to cave, but it is what it is. Moving forward, Bungie had layoffs. This is a studio that was brought in for their expertise and to advise on these live service games that were going to be part of the initiative. Next thing you know, we're hearing some struggles. I believe they had an update that was underwhelming as far as sales, even though I believe it was reviewed pretty well, but reviews versus sales are two different things. And then there's layoffs, so there's a lot of there's a lot of people upset with Bungie and their place in Sony, and that's when the talks really started to ramp up of like, did Bungie screw over Sony? Did they lie? Did they honey dick them with the acquisition and all that stuff?
Oh, my
Yeah,
Lord.
yeah. So it was a rough year, and then just overall, Jim Ryan's lasting legacy. It's just, all these mistakes are now being pointed to Jim Ryan, and whether it was debated if Jim Ryan was forced out, it's now looking like he was, just based off of this lasting legacy that he has left with PlayStation. So this is why PlayStation was nominated for most trolled, but we don't stop right there, ADEV, because we have other nominees. Now we're
Damn.
going to move on to DEI, so diversity, equity, inclusion, and overall just wokeness in gaming. This coming from the anti-woke mob, they made their voices heard all year long. I felt like it started with, so Sweet Baby's been an ongoing thing, but really I felt like it picked up with the launch of Tales of K'Zara. We got a game from a black lead with a black protagonist, full of African culture, and people just felt like Sweet Baby was all over this game. To the point where I believe there was an interview with the head of the studio behind Sweet Baby, behind Tales of K'Zara. They had an interview with was it with Iron Lords, and they talked about how they did consult with Sweet Baby, but they didn't really get to work with them because of just the how much Sweet Baby charges, and this being a smaller title, they couldn't actually use all of Sweet Baby's services, but they would have liked to work with Sweet Baby. But that still didn't stop the anti-woke mob from coming at Tales of K'Zara. To this point, it kind of builds to a witch hunt we saw later in the year with Indiana Jones getting woke accusations. Avowed, they had the we found out through, I believe it was from a preview event, that Avowed would have an option for pronouns, for they them pronouns, so people were accusing Avowed of being woke. Dragon's Age Felgar just got all the anger from the woke mob this year with the politics. I believe that there was a controversy around the butt customization not being enough in the game. And yeah, so Dragon Age Veilguard just got it really bad to the point where people just wanted to see, people spent the entire previous year complaining that what was it? Harry Potter was getting canceled. And then that mob turned all their anger towards Dragon Age Veilguard to try to get that game pretty much canceled from a consumer standpoint. And so, yeah, it is what it is. We're not gonna, people don't want to talk about that hypocrisy, but yeah. But let's keep it moving, A-Dub, because there's another nominee. This one brought in a lot from the trolling, that being Ubisoft. So Ubisoft's issues, they had so many issues this year that people are pretty much on life support with them. They assume that Ubisoft is going to be purchased by somebody at any point next year, maybe by the end of this year, but it doesn't look like that's going to be happening because by the time you hear this, we will be in 2025. But yeah, Ubisoft is on life support right now. Let's just hop around with everything that happened with them. They released Star Wars Outlaws. First, they previewed Star Wars Outlaws, and people saw how the main character looked. We saw a lot of the side-by-side comparisons of what the actor looks like versus the main character in the game. We also saw this is what the lead actor in Star Wars Outlaw looks like and what their character looks like in the game and how they're depicted in the game versus this is what the lead actor in Fallen Order looks like. This is how they are depicted in the game. So there's a lot of wokeness showing up here with Star Wars Outlaws, accusations, leading to the point of underwhelming sales. People complain about the stealth and the writing and all that good stuff. For Star Wars Outlaws, it is what it is. We keep it moving. We also had another game announced by Ubisoft, that being Assassin's Creed Shadows. People saw the lead character as we had a female, which people decided they weren't mad at because they saw the male protagonist in the game. And that happened to be a black samurai. What's the name? Yasuke?
Yasuke,
Your boy
historic figure,
Yasuke.
he
Historian. Yeah, bro. Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't stop people from questioning whether this person was a real life human
it's not
being.
historically accurate.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. And so yeah, this game got all the wokeness accusations. People just combing through history books trying to find any type of issue, any type of misrepresentation of Japanese culture and history within the game to try to, slander what this game has to offer. And to the point where we eventually had the delay of Assassin's Creed Shadows announced to 2025, so people will just have to hold off that hate until February of next year. But yeah, not looking good for Assassin's Creed Shadows from the woke mob standpoint. And we keep it moving with that because then we saw that X Defiant was closed and canceled. So X Defiant, a game that a lot of people question, who asked for this, who wanted this, another live service failure, dead on arrival. That game gets canceled, that studio gets closed, but we don't stop there, A-Dub, because your boys at Division Heartland also got canceled by Ubisoft. But we don't stop there, A-Dub, because Prince of Persia, Sands of Time also got delayed to 2026. But we can't stop there, A-Dub, because they actually put out a good game this year, that being Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. But unfortunately, with that game reviewed very well, that studio got disbanded after positive reviews. And overall, we had layoffs with Ubisoft as well on top of that. So yeah, they had a rough year, I'll say.
The misery is just the unfortunate chain of events is what's funny, not necessarily the misery and hardship that are imparted upon the people who suffered as a result of these decisions.
Yeah. Let's keep it moving, A-Dub, because they weren't the only nominee in this category.
Keep
We
it
also had
moving.
Overwatch. Overwatch is constantly a game that people point to when they want to show how Blizzard has just dropped the ball and lost their perspective and lost their connection to the community and the direction of this game. And they're always coming at it to the point where a game came out, that being Marvel Rivals. And people were calling this the Overwatch killer. they're doing some things. As normally you would see a game come out, especially a game from like NetEase, And people would just be like, I don't know about this. This looks like a game that's dead on arrival. There's not enough space for another hero shooter, let alone another live service game. No
Oh,
little hypocrisy.
not another Marvel game.
Yeah, not another Marvel game. But, as this game got closer and closer to launch, I believe they had a preview event where a lot of influencers got their hands on it, and people walked away positive from it. Next thing you know, people were super excited to buy skins now, hey, dumb. to buy microtransactions, spend all the money. Overwatch, a game that people complained about when it came to skins and how they rolled them out and how skins matter now. Apparently, people have no idea, do not care when it came to Marvel Rivals and purchasing all the Marvel skins. People love Marvel so much now. To the point where I'm actually hearing people excited about Marvel movies again because of Marvel Rivals. Which is, I don't want to shit on Marvel Rivals, but they build up Marvel Rivals to tear down Overwatch. And so this is supposed to be the Overwatch killer. So, Overwatch constantly on life support. Was it the Overwatch League got disbanded at some point, but it's still going on and another organization picked it up. But and then to the point where we also got 6v6, something that people said should have been there from the start. But we keep it moving to the last nominee in this category for the most trolled, that being, as mentioned earlier, Microsoft. Soft. Soft. Microsoft. So we begin with Microsoft Gaming having layoff. They laid off 1,900 employees in January, that sending ripples and waves through the industry and the community. We figured that some of this was coming with the acquisitions and just a lot of the redundancy that was going to come from that big of a just purchase and taking in all those people, and that unfortunately led to just a ton of people being laid off. But we keep it moving from there. We had studio closures coming from Microsoft and those acquisitions, because we saw your boys at Arkane Austin and Alpha Dog Games get let go in May, and that was sad at that time. But then, when one happens, you're kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop, and this was the big one. Tango Gameworks closure in June. Everybody loved, what was it, a Hi-Fi Rush. People had it in their game of the year. People, that was the start of the comeback for Microsoft, after the acquisitions and just Bethesda showing how they punched way above their weight with the acquisitions. Hi-Fi Rush was the one that was shadow dropped. The game caught people by surprise, and it kind of carried people for a while until we got the steady cadence of releases this year. And it was a game that people were very excited about. I believe it was released on other consoles. I don't know how it sold, but maybe not well enough to keep Tango Gameworks around. And so Microsoft had to cut them off. But we have to keep it going, because now this wasn't Microsoft's fault necessarily in the way that it was announced. But the fact that it was going to be announced was ultimately their fault. Jeff Keighley had the assist on this one at the Summer Games Fest. We had a big show off of Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. And the showcase ends with a one more thing. And usually with the one more thing, this is an awesome situation where you're about to find out some great news that's going to make everybody happy. Well, this one more thing for Indiana Jones was that the game was coming out on PlayStation the following year, and not too soon after the release on Microsoft. And so yeah, this was one of those ones that awesome for PlayStation, but was really deflating for Microsoft owners and their exclusivity, what is it, console worry, just trash talk. This was deflating for them because, the PlayStation ponies got a win on the Summer Jam stage, assisted by your boy Jeff Keighley. And so, this was one of those ones where people were like, nah, we knew Indiana Jones is gonna be great, and now they're gonna have it. This sucks, unfortunately. I thought these things were good for gamers. I thought everybody wanted games everywhere, but
Yeah.
not in this situation,
Thought
apparently.
exclusives didn't help anything. It
Yeah,
was
but
anti-consumer.
it and building on with that point, with something that happened recently, was it You could get with this, or you could get with that, or you could get with this, or you could get with
Yeah.
that campaign, because we learned, A-Dub, that this is an Xbox. We had the This Is an Xbox campaign headed by your boy Satya Nadella, letting everybody know that everything, any device, is an Xbox. You could be on your phone, you could be on your PC, you could be on your console, you could be on your Fire Stick. You can whip out your stick, stick it in your TV, get your Xbox going. Everything was an Xbox campaign. Consoles don't matter, A-Dub, because anything is an Xbox. And so yeah, this was just further fuel to the fire that there are no longer exclusives coming from Microsoft, that everything will be on every console moving forward. If Nintendo can handle it, they'll be getting all the games, as well as PlayStation, as well as PC, handheld devices, whatever you want, you name it, you could play it. So yeah, this was just one of those things of just creating a lot of concerns. This was a year where people were conf where Xbox owners were concerned about their digital libraries, A-Dub. It might all go away. This is the year where it all ends. So yeah, it was a rough year for Microsoft. This is a long category with a lot of nominees. And the winner of the most trolled for 2024, that being Ubisoft. Soft. Soft. I'm not gonna run back through it, A-Dub. You
Yeah.
talk about it. Why was Ubisoft the most trolled for 2024 in your
I
eyes?
mean, largely in part because they have been severely trolled for the preceding years leading up to 2024. But right now, it's reached a fever pitch where not only are people's negative sentiments toward Ubisoft manifesting into tangibly negative effects for the company, but it's having an impact on the bottom line, like to the extent where a Star Wars game doesn't perform as well as it should for reasons that don't really center on its gameplay and its content. You know, there were a lot of remarks about the stealth and everything, but it really boiled down to the look of the lead character and
Yeah.
that, oh, Ubisoft games, it'll be 50% off in a month. And like, it's, we hear control issues, we support people. If you're strapped for cash, if you're not really raking it in, if gaming isn't such an easy thing to keep in your life, we totally understand if you need to wait for sales, wait for the freebie offerings on the services, or perhaps even, you know, get some other services that give you access to day one games like Ubi Play, EA, whatever the fuck, and PlayStation Plus, Game Pass, etc. However, gamers have taken to weaponizing the falling prices of games against the developers and the publishers that make them, to the extent that games just fall short as a big chunk of the audience is waiting for it to be cheaper. And then, you know, the constant trolling of Yves Guillemot, and you know, now people are starting to understand the knowledge that him and his brothers are majority owners of the company, and they're like, oh, well, they need to go, they're gonna get bought out. Ubisoft's on the way out. You know, the various controversies that surrounded AC Shadows, you know, people finding out that yes, there was in fact a black samurai at one point in time. You, shock. You know, shipping black people all over the world for hundreds of years, you don't think one of them's gonna land in Japan at some point, but
Yeah.
okay. Oh yeah, there's all that. Then there's all, and then the ninja character is a woman. I'm surprised nobody's remarked of her looks yet, but we'll see what happens once we get closer to February. Yeah, it just never ends. Prince of Persia: Lost Crown being well received, however, not moving the units necessary to keep the studio open and, you know, secure a sequel. That we're starting to see a lot of things that don't make sense. And it's happening more frequently, it's happening more severely. Like, I understand the sentiment that there's just too many games. However, I think people need to also observe the sentiment that I lost my train of thought. Like, there's too many games, but at the same token, there's no reason why good or great games aren't enough. Like, I understand they need to sell, but if a game is good or great, the audience should be there. However, especially for Ubisoft, consumers are just finding reasons to not show up, and that's contributing significantly to why they're the most trolled for 2024. Four.
Four,
Four.
four. All right, you got the next category, Ado.
Oh, you goddamn right. Yes, we're coming at you with the next category for the 2024 Trollies. This will be Best Developer. Oh, I'm having a good time over here, man. I love this
Oh,
shit.
yes. Yeah, that's how we do it.
So, this category is for the developers we feel are just killing it, like for no other reason. I mean, it's not any set of things they do. It's just all the things they do and how significant that is for the industry as a whole. So the nominees are as follows. First on the list, we got Capcom. Now, they're showing up because Capcom has been on the most epic run of quality game releases any developer has ever produced in their lives. Like, I could run it all the way back to the various Resident Evil remakes, the various new releases of Resident Evil that reimagine the entire series or the entire perspective, and the just bringing new life and vitality to Resident Evil after Chris Redfield was punching boulders in Resident Evil 6. People thought it was over, but it wasn't. But yeah, they've just 2024 alone. I mean, we have Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, we got Dragon's Dogma 2, we got the Dead Rising remaster. And then it goes even further to games that are on the horizon, such as Monster Hunter Wilds. Onimusha was just announced by Capcom, as well as a sequel to Okami. And they even got the lead designer, or the lead developer for that game to come back. Like, basically, it's going to be a Clover game for all intents and purposes. So Capcom just stays winning, stays producing. That's why they're nominated. Next nominee, Blizzard. This year, they brought us Vessel of Hatred, continue to improve and add to the Diablo experience. We got the new class with the Spiritborn. We got the rune words. We got the new region. We got new bosses. We got new activities with the Cuirassed Undercity, as well as the Dark Citadel. You know, it's a great time to be in Diablo, especially now that they've reworked the progression system. It's just a culmination of more than a year of effort to take the game from what it was to what it will eventually be as more time passes. But they've made significant strides this year, and they've also been killing it with their Overwatch support, continuing to A, add new characters, B, add new cosmetics. They're killing it right now. See, they're continuing to tweak and balance to make the playing field more level while still maintaining the individuality of each character that's on the roster. You know, they just introduced Hazard, and he's starting to fit in pretty well despite having one of the broadest sets of skills and passives and abilities I've ever seen in a single character release. But you know, they continue to put in the work to continue bringing us the most quality experiences that are offered in the industry. Next nominee, From Software. You know what they do, you know what they're about. The makers of Elden Ring, the Souls franchise, Bloodborne, Sekiro. 2024, they brought a Shadow of the Erdtree, a DLC expansion to Elden Ring that puts most full new original games to shame. In addition to that, at the Game Awards, we retreated to the reveal of the next installment of the Elden Ring adventure, not Elden Ring 2, but Elden Ring Nightreign, a roguelike co-op Elden Ring experience that might get a dub back in the mix, probably a dub and E single running through the lands between. Trying to get out? I don't know, but From Software knows what they're doing. They know who they're serving, and they're firing on all cylinders over there. Last developer, Atlus. And now this is largely for the release of Metaphor this year. However, it's also built upon the legacy that is the Persona franchise, which got them in this position to introduce a brand new IP People question whether they'd be able to capture the persona magic in a medieval setting, and lo and behold, Atlus pulled it off. Not only that, but they seem to create a hybrid style of gameplay with their different approaches to real-time combat, as well as their traditional JRPG turn-based combat. They always have that top-notch presentation, the over-the-top style, the innovative mechanics and relationships, the voice acting, character designs. You won't hear anything negative about an Atlus game. You'd have to search high and low to find somebody with such a sour soul that they would have anything negative to say about anything Atlus offers. But these are the nominees, and the winner, with a unanimous vote of two. Cobb, Cobb, Cobb.
Capcom.
Yes, Capcom is best developer of 2024. We explained what got them on the list. What pushed them over the top is just the undeniable quality and cadence of their releases. Like, if it's not a Resident Evil, it's a Dead Rising. If it's not a Dead Rising, it's a Monster Hunter. If it's not a Monster Hunter, it's a new IP, a Kintsugami. If it's not that, it's a sequel that people have been begging for years, the Dragon's Dogma 2. Capcom has so many different flavors they can pull from, and all of them are made with a level of quality and love that it's all great. There was a point in time when Capcom releases were hit or miss. However, that time has long since passed, and I doubt that Capcom will ever go back to such days, because they are on one of the most incredible roles any developer has ever been on, and I hope they never stop. AMC, how do you feel about Capcom?
Yeah, no, totally agreed. As you said, the show agreed upon this one with two votes going, both votes going towards Capcom. Yeah, as you said, the cadence that they have, it's just when there's a period where, as you said, they were struggling with the Resident Evil, and then they kind of found their footing with Resident Evil, and then they had the hit with Monster Hunter, and they kind of became the Monster Hunter and Resident Evil developer. And they would go through, they were going kind of back and forth between, all right, we're gonna do a remake of a Resident Evil game, then we'll do a new Resident Evil game, and then we have this Monster Hunter, we'll mix in Monster Hunter Origins, and then we got Monster Hunter Stories. And they're kind of putting, like, they're going back and forth between these two franchises. But then you notice then, as you said, like Dragon's Dogma 2, Path of the Goddess, Marvel's Capcom Fighting Collection,
Forgot
to the
all
point
about that
where
part.
people forgot that there was a Punisher arcade game. Like that was just thrown into the fighting collection. People were like, wait, there's a Punisher like brawler? Hell yeah. And like
And
people were
now you
excited about
got
it.
it.
Yeah, now that's just out there. And yeah, as you mentioned, all the games that they have coming, it's not too many shows do a best developer category. And so it's interesting to kind of try to figure it out, because you would just think whoever has the best game of the year is the best developer. But for me, like the way I look at it, it's kind of just who's on a roll right now, like who is seen in the best light as a developer. And there are some like developers where if they have an announcement, people immediately get excited. And Capcom, they really cemented themselves as having a great year when at the Game Awards they show up and they announce Onimusha and Okami 2, and those are kind of the two holy shit moments of the show. Amongst the show, with many holy shit moments between Naughty Dog and From Software, and just some of the other announcements there, like Capcom really stood out on top as like a great developer with that seems to have seems to have really connected with the fans and the gaming community, in that they know what games people want to see. They also know what new IP they can release and still make a splash with that. And then they know that there's also levers that they can always fall back on with, like, say, a Mega Man or something else down the line. So there's just a wealth of IP that they can fall back on, and they seem to have an idea of how to address that IP in a modern gaming standpoint so that it doesn't feel dated at all. And because of that, yeah, everything that they have, everything that they announce, it does create a lot of interest and buzz. And so they have to be acknowledged in this way. And some of the other ones, yeah, as you said, Blizzard, they killed it with Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred. I felt like Overwatch, they had their new characters with Venture and Juno also. And then
Oh
they
yeah, I
did the six
forgot about that.
yeah and then they had the 6v6 edition, whether it's only for a period of time. People have been begging for it, asking for it. They gave it to them. They're going to get the analytics, see how people like it now compared to the 5v5, and see if it's something that'd be worth keeping around. But they are listening to the community, and they did that for them. You can say that much. And then the other thing is, Warcraft. They had a big expansion with the War Within, and by all accounts, from what I was hearing, is it was the best update to Warcraft in like 20 years. And so they seem to, at least of their big three titles, they seem to be rolling on all cylinders with them, which opens it up then down the line for whenever they come out with that. I believe they're supposed to be working on like a single player game or something like that. So it seems like they're in a good place with their live service titles, and eventually we'll get something single player down the line, and I'm sure it's gonna be something that will definitely keep our interest and be something that we'll be talking about. So yeah,
I
best
definitely
of.
lament the loss of the survival game they were making.
Oh, maybe that's the one I'm thinking of.
That cancellation hurt. Like, that was the one thing I was like, come on, Blizzard, just hit me with that newness.
So that's unfortunate. But yeah, Capcom definitely the winner. They can't miss right now, and I'm excited for anything that they have coming down the line. So yeah, let's take a break, A-Dub, and we will get into our final category and just our breakdown of 2024 from a personal standpoint. Point, point. All right, we are back, A-Dub, with our final category. I'm gonna take it from here.
That would be game of the year, year,
Year,
year,
year.
year. Yes, this is the category that we use to honor not necessarily the best game of the year overall, since we don't get to play all the great games that are offered in a given year, mostly because volume is an issue. Secondly, time is an issue. Thirdly, we're enthusiasts, baby. We play what we like. We try new things, try to broaden our horizons, and we like to give shine to some of the titles that don't get the recognition or the acknowledgement that they may have gotten had they released earlier in the year or had the year been a little less competitive. So for Game of the Year, these are our personal flavors. Do we just there's not really a nominees for
No, you just do your
this.
winner. Yeah, just do your
Yes.
winner.
So for A-Dub, personal game of the year, it was a close one because if you guys have been following the show, early on in this year, I was really pulling for Star Wars Outlaws. It was the most Star Wars game I ever played. It did well with its stealth and its action balance. It introduced new characters you fall in love with, especially that little Nix. And man, it was just an outstanding experience. Unexpectedly, it was an Ubisoft game. I was had real high hopes. I expected something totally different and got something that I ended up loving from beginning to end. I need to go back to it and do some DLC. However, something snuck in at the end of this year, and the developers worked extra hard to get it in much better, more complete shape before this year came to a close. So my personal game of the year is going to Stalker 2. So like when I'll just give you a brief history because I don't have any background with the Stalker franchise. However, as Xbox has been showing off the offerings that it was going to be bringing forth as a result of its numerous acquisitions and mergers, one of the games that stood out to me was Stalker 2. Like, this looked a bit like Fallout, but with more of a serious tone. And I'm always game for that. I'm always game for those special kinds of first-person shooters that break the mold and do something different than just running from corridor to corridor, knocking enemies down. So I patiently waited for Stalker 2 and ended up coming out. It crept up on me toward the end of this year. And I gotta say, it launched not in the best condition. There were technical issues in the primary system that really sells the entire experience, the A-Life 2.0 wasn't functioning at the time. However, GSC, they got it together against all odds. You know, there's a war going on in the Ukraine. The studio even relocated to what I believe Malta and have been developing the game, you know, tirelessly, just working as hard as they can. And I gotta say, like when it was in its launch state, I could still see the core of the experience, like between the visuals, the anomalies, the mutants, the various factions, the zombies, the bombed out buildings, the various stashes and the secrets that you can discover on your own or with a little help from notes and PDAs, just the entire way that the Stalker 2 is presented in the way that game operates just vibrated with me on the highest levels. Like it really felt like a game that was made for me. So I can say without a doubt, Stalker 2, my personal game of the year. I'm looking forward to any and everything else coming from GSC for Stalker 2 in the future. I know that they're going to give us a bit more detail in 2025 about what's planned for the future of the game now that the A-Life system is working and they feel like the game is in a much better place than it was when it launched. So looking forward to that, and we will keep you updated. But AMC, what is your game of the
This one
year?
would have been controversial at the Game Awards, because if they had a problem with Shadows of the Erdtree, with DLC winning Game of the Year, then they're gonna have a problem with my winner, that being Diablo 4 Vessel of Hatred. 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 My winner last year was Diablo 4, so no surprise. Vessel of Hatred was my winner this year for Game of the Year. They took
Bias at the highest
my
levels.
the way I view personally, this is why it's a very personal category. The way I view Game of the Year, one, I don't play a lot of games every year, and so I have to be very selective with the games that I play every year. Then two, on top of that, it's kind of the best experience that I had for the year, and within like the confines of that year of releases. And so I won't say a game that I played, a game that came out last year, which was might have been the best experience I had this year. I wouldn't give that Game of the Year. But if DLC came out and that was the best bit of content I played for the year, then I'll vote for that. That's why I had no issue with people voting for Shadow of the Erdtree as Game of the Year. And Vessel of Hatred, I love Diablo 4. I had an amazing experience with Diablo 4 in its vanilla state. And then Vessel of Hatred came out, and I had an even better experience with the game, if not a leaps and bounds better experience with a game that I already loved. And that, they had put in the work over that first year of reworking the loot system. But then with the Vessel of Hatred, adding the new class, and then on top of that, reworking the difficulty. Tiering is leaning towards the different torment levels and moving through the pit, as opposed to what was like the capstone dungeons and all that stuff. I like that setup, and so it seems like they've kind of just figured out the end game. I'm sure there's a lot more that they could always add to make it, I guess, perfect, but it's in a good state of just a great gameplay loop of things to do, whether it's the Legion events, the world boss, the Helltides, the pit runs, the Undercity, the Infernal Hordes, the Nightmare Dungeons, just listing off things off the top of my head, stuff I haven't done in the game. Like they even have stuff that you can do as long as you like team up with people. You can do that stuff. And so they've really figured out, like, they've added more Uber bosses into the game. So just there's just a lot more. And the seasonal event, they put in a lot of great work into that with the Realm Walker. So it just felt like they really just figured out the game from an in-game standpoint, something that was very heavily criticized with the vanilla Diablo 4. A lot of people, there are the different camps of people. There are people like me who played the game a little more casually, and so they were just enjoying the game. But then there were other people who were the hardcores who that's all they play, and they play the same class every time or whatever. But they played the game and they got through the end game. They got to the end game within days, and then they kind of ravaged that, and next thing you know, they're posting on Reddit to Blizzard asking for them to do something more with the end game, make it better. There's obviously the balancing issues that people felt with the first year with certain classes that that Blizzard had to work out. But yeah, we're at this point where there's not too many classes where people are saying, this entire class is screwed up. They might say there are certain builds within the class that aren't, perfect, but each class has a viable build that people can work with, and people are happy that the new class is somewhat broken with A-Dub and his quills that just destroy everything in your path. But yeah, it's a game that they've figured out from a standpoint with Blizzard to show a developer that's heavily criticized for just missing the mark and losing the faith of its own community and what they want. Just me being very tuned in with the campfire chats and just even post checking on Reddit and seeing just getting a temperature of what's be of the community by what's being posted. And last year it was doom and gloom the majority of the year. You saw a little positivity, hope springing towards the end of the year, and then we get Vessel of Hatred launching. 2024 starts off, pretty solid footing with some of the updates that they have going on. And then Vessel of Hatred came out, and you just see the posts. You see even the "Oh my bad, Blizzard" posts saying like, "I was wrong about you. I thought you had no idea what your community wanted. I thought you didn't weren't listening to your community. But clearly, based on some of the updates you've done with your game, I just want to put out this post of appreciation." To the point where you have people then showing up to counter that point, being like, "Nah, you shouldn't be sucking off Blizzard here. This is not what this is what that's not what this subreddit's about." People aren't supposed to be
How does the
positive.
boot taste?
Yeah, you're not supposed to be positive about Blizzard on this subreddit. But yeah, people were out there just showing their appreciation for the work that Blizzard's done, and for me, it's easily the best experience I've had of this year. I was playing. Was it Space Marine 2? Absolutely feeding all, like scratching all the itches that I needed for a Warhammer game. It was a shoo-in for Game of the Year. And Vessel of Hatred comes out, and I immediately was like, I need to stop playing this. And I need to play Vessel of Hatred. And I stopped playing Warhammer for Space Marine 2 to focus on Vessel of Hatred. Did not look back. Enjoyed the shit out of it. Jumped back into Warhammer. Absolutely loved playing through that game, but still kept playing Warhammer after, and it just kept my attention playing what Final Fantasy VII Remake, and still every now and then just I get an urge to hop in on Diablo and I jump back into that game and work more on my Werebear build. And so it's just something that has like just captured my attention, my imagination, and I can't overlook that. And because of that, Vessel of Hatred, Game of the Year for the AMC. C.
See.
And so to wrap this up, A-Dub, let's close here. Let's get into, just our year in gaming for 2024, your overall outlook for 2025, just your thoughts, A-Dub, as far as the year and moving forward from there.
I mean, contrary to unpopular belief, 2024 was a very strong year, and that's saying a lot following the coattails of 2023, which was one of the most epic years of all time. People are going to try to sell you that nonsense that 2024 was slow, 2024 was quiet. Like, nah, there were several heavy hitters, several like perception changing games, genre defining experiences, generation defining experiences. And we may not all disagree on what came this year and what didn't. However, the titles and the numbers and the communities and the discussions speak for themselves. Insofar as 2025, I mean, it's if Rockstar can get GTA out, it's GTA 5's year. That's without a doubt. However, it it won't be just standing alone at the top. There'll be lots of good company around them. I mean, we got Obsidian releasing having two major releases in the same year with Avowed and Outer Worlds 2. Outer Worlds 2 also looking phenomenal, looking like something that Adele wants to get involved with, even to the extent that during the PlayStation end of the year sale, I managed to get a hold of Spacer's Choice. So at some point, I will be playing Outer Worlds before I get to Outer Worlds 2. You know, picked up the likes of Prince of Persia, Lost Crown, Marvel Midnight Suns. I know that was that was 2023. And then what was that other one? Oh, and Somerville, which I also think was either 23 or 22, but it came out a minute ago. So, you know, catching up on some old stuff because there's lots of things that came out that deserve attention, that deserve recognition, that deserve support, possibly deserve sequels. And you know, it continues to be the best time to be a gamer, you know, in spite of the unfortunate turns of events and closures and layoffs that plagued the industry over the past year or two. You know, we're still getting quality content. There's still life for these employees beyond where they used to work. I mean, the Game Awards honored Amir Sattvaat for his work on placing, you know, laid off video game developers in, you know, new studios and in new jobs, and just keeping them working, keeping that creativity flowing, keeping spirits high. And yeah, man, it's, you know, everything's never going to be all good or all bad, but I will say that 2024, despite all the bad that happened, it was mostly good in the end. So that's how I feel. AMC, what about yourself?
We'll start with the downer. Layoffs were just god awful. Studio closures, terrible. A lot of bad things. And you know, we're still feeling the effects of the pandemic, the overpurchasing that took place during the pandemic, and then the corrections that had to take place after that. You know, it's still felt, and there's going to be some consolidation in the industry, but as that we as we noted, Tango Gameworks was closed, but I believe there is a story like later that a lot of the people who worked at Tango Gameworks were picked up by a new studio or able like they were able to basically keep it moving, and so they had found like a new home. So you know, not all these people are just out of the industry. They're just, you know, the chairs are being shifted for some to new locations, and that's, you know, it sucks, but it is what it is. From a gaming standpoint, yeah, the backlog is the sign of how we're doing right now, because I have my ongoing wish list on, you know, on the PlayStation Store, and I'm constantly looking at games. This is like the first Christmas that I didn't ask for a video game because I just can't get to all of them. So they just keep pushing them off. And so I was just like, don't get me any games this year. Just no more games. I'll play through some, and then I'll figure it out from there. So my backlog is just continuing to build. Played some awesome games this year. Some notable ones being, I mean, this came out last year, but Dave the Diver Ultimate Girlfriend game just took me by surprise. Diablo, not Diablo, Stardew Valley got the 1.6 update towards the end of the year. Something that Marissa and I had been waiting on to jump into Stardew Valley because we knew how much we loved the game, but the 1.6 update was going to add a lot more in-game content and just some quality of life stuff, some new resources that you can work through, a new neighbor within the town that you can interact with, just so much new dialogue. So it was an update purely for the people who have been playing a game, which is interesting because you usually think if somebody's updating a game, they're doing it to entice like a newer audience. But it seems like everything that Concerned Ape does is for the people who are playing the game, and it's a good thought, or a good perspective to have, because you keep the people happy who are diehards, then they get the word out and they keep the game alive. And so yeah, it's a game that just continues to wow me as anytime I play it. And Yeah, just playing older games, and Space Marine 2 had my Warhammer dream fulfilled by finally playing a Warhammer game. So after reading a ton of books, to now have that world brought to life in the form of a video game is absolutely amazing. And then I would say this too, just recently having a new real experience on Christmas was we bought Theo his first video game. He's played Stardew with us, but this was his first video game, and that being Bluey. We bought him the Bluey video game on the Nintendo Switch. He played it for 5 straight hours on Christmas Day, and then he had the game fully completed within 3 days. Just found it,
Holy
and I liked how
shit.
they had it set up too. They have it broken down into episodes initially, and as you're playing through the episodes, they're teaching you the different mechanics, like jumping on stuff, moving stuff around, how to find things. Even like there's a plant watering mechanics, so you can make flowers, bring flowers back to life, yet and stuff like that. And then after you do those episodes, then they kind of unleash you into the world, which is like the house and the different areas that the episodes presented. And you can then it becomes a collectathon at that point, and you're searching around, you're finding stuff, collectathon. But yeah, they're sending you around finding stuff, and like as you said, like or as I said earlier, you can they taught you how to water plants. So some of the stuff is like you got to find plants, and you'll just see dead plants, and so you got to water them, and then as you bring them to life, you're like, oh, that's the plant I needed, and you collect that plant. And so a lot of stuff that's introducing a new gamer to game mechanics that can be used in other games. Like I think about Stardew Valley. Like that's all Stardew Valley is, like, just reclaiming the area and being in tune with your surroundings. It's something that's true in open world games. Bethesda games, it's all about interacting with the environment, moving stuff around, and things staying where you leave them. And this game does it really well, but in a way that's intuitive for a young gamer. It was just a great, I don't know, like just reliving my childhood through my kids. Like that was just a great gaming experience as a parent to see. And yeah, this just things like that just make me think like gaming is in such a great place. And we just gotta keep pushing that gratitude. You can still call out the BS, but you gotta acknowledge the good. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't love gaming. And so trying to indicate that gaming is in a horrible place and that the best years have already come and gone for gaming is just a bold-faced lie. And I am so looking forward to 2025 because it's going to be insane. And if GTA 6 does what I think it's going to do, I think a lot of the people being down on gaming, a lot of the, even though software sales are up, but the thoughts that software sales are down, that's going to be quickly corrected when next year comes around because we have a lot of heavy hitters and games that, frankly, people aren't going to be able to pass up on. So it's going to be absolutely awesome. Do you have any final words before we get out of here, A-Dub?
I don't, but I got a few people to do. Got Troll of the Year, Troll of the
Troll of the
Year,
Year,
Troll of the
Troll of the
Year,
Year.
Troll of the
Troll of the
Year,
year,
Troll of the
troll of the
Year,
year, year, year, year, year, year, year, year, year, year, year, year.
You got Troll of the Year. These trolls are a little special because they're not just coming at any particular topic. They're coming at the whole year. They're trying to tell you that it ain't as good as it really is. First troll says, Xbox is cooked. Xbox, hey, it's even kind of hard to put into words. Like, despite the missteps that they had along the way, despite the issues that they're having with their messaging, despite their audience really taking them to task over games being multi-platform and them not being as clear as possible about what to expect in the days to come. Despite all that, they still managed to put out quality releases regardless of what they are available on or are going to be available on, and they have an outstanding slate of games still to come. So if Xbox is cooked, give me a slice because I want whatever they're serving. Next troll says, 2024 was such a terrible year for gaming that a DLC had high chance of winning Game of the Year. Yeah, so this is reflecting back to people criticizing the Game Awards for amending its rules to allow a DLC expansion to be considered for Game of the Year. Some thought it was a foregone conclusion that, oh, if it's on there, then you know where this is going. And then there are people like this troll alleging that if a DLC is up for Game of the Year, then it must not have been a good year. It's like, well, if a DLC is up for Game of the Year, then that means it was probably an outstanding year, because if that DLC cooked better than major releases, new IPs, then that DLC deserves to get its nod, which the rules were changed for. It got the nod. However, it didn't get the award. Astrobot got the award in a year when people said that Sony didn't have anything to offer, in a year where they were saying Sony was just messing up all over the place, high profile failures. Game of the Year, Astrobot, fix your face. Next troll says, this year sucked. Next year looks a bit more promising. Like, if this year sucked, in your opinion, then there's nothing coming next year that's going to lift your spirits. Because, I mean, despite the god Rockstar prepping to drop GTA 6, despite the likes of Borderlands 4 showing up, we're still looking at Fable, Assassin's Creed Shadows. The games that came out this year aren't that far away from that same company. In fact, I'd say that they're all part of the same group. So if you're not already enjoying what's been on offer, I don't have high hopes for you, bruh. Last troll says, worst year of gaming since gaming has been a thing. Nah. And that's not even worth getting into, because that is just demonstrably incorrect. I mean, we can go back to the earliest days of gaming, and I'd say that any of those years is far worse than anything that we had in 2024 that may have turned people sour. I mean, people always talk about, oh, AAA gaming is too expensive, the gaming industry is going to crash. We had two of the highest profile failures in gaming history in the same year. No sign of a crash. So, if there is any proof positive that the gaming industry of today is not as fragile and precariously situated as it was back in the 80s when Atari and ET and all the knockoff games helped to bring things to a quote unquote crashing halt, then it seems like gaming is not only in a good place, but in a great place. AMC, you got anything for these trolls?
Yeah, nah, I mean, they're always full of BS. As you said, Microsoft, as much as there's a lot of insecurity with the exclusions, what we're not hearing is the lack of offerings from a gaming standpoint. So their community's well fed. It's just they're mad that other people are fed. So that's a
They're mad that other people are sitting at the table.
yeah, exactly. And so regardless, they have something to play, because we were at a point in the what in the 2020 around the pandemic time where they had nothing to offer from a standpoint. And so we're at a place now where we're mad that they have so much to offer and that it's not exclusively on Microsoft on Xbox. So yeah, that's then there's also the fact that there's a lot of optimism from a standpoint of areas to grow, and one of the big areas to grow is this talk about the handheld consoles. We have Sony and like getting rumored, Microsoft obviously saying they're already looking into it. We got the Switch 2 on the way, which I am super excited about. And we already have this the not plethora, but we do have multiple PC handhelds with the ROG Ally and the Steam Deck, and I'm sure there'll be some more down the line. So like we have some optimism from just areas of potential growth as far as how they can reach new gamers. Maybe making consoles more portable might be a way to access that community, which is funny too, because all people talked about was the complaints about like the Series S holding back the community. Well, if we get more and more into the handheld space, we're gonna have weaker and weaker consoles, and that's just gonna be a thing that you're gonna have to accept. So just it's going to have to be a pivot in some ways, but they need to reach audiences and they need to figure out where they prefer to game. And they tried the mobile. The mobile seems to be like the mobile games do well, but the console mobile games don't necessarily do well as well. And so I think that the handheld may be the way to go to, reach some new players that don't necessarily want a console, but they still want to play, but they're interested in console gaming. And the continued growth of PC, as many people see that as a bad sign, we have also seen that that has been a lever for, game developers to pull on to generate more revenue from software sales, because now they're not as solely reliant on the console community, who is always complaining about all the stuff that we talked about in the most trolled segment. They now can at least get into the PC community, so they can, somewhat work around this very fickle community that has come to make up, the majority of the software buyers from a console standpoint. And so the PC community can subsidize some of that. And so, yeah, there's hope there, and there's just so many games coming out that for people to say that this was a down year, I mean, Metaphor was absolutely an amazing looking game that I didn't get my hands on, but continues the momentum of Atlus and what they plan to do with the next Persona game. And yeah, we've just seen so many other players step up, and also saw Stalker, a game that, in the past, games come out at launch and they have their issues and people are pretty down on it, but it was nice to see people give them a little grace to get their game together. And it's by all stand by, by all accounts, and from what I've seen from your gameplay, the game seems to be in a better place, and it's fulfilling a lot of the wants of the people who are excited for Stalker 2. And so, it's just, there are a lot of great things that I saw this year, despite a lot of the bad stuff that also was reported on the year. And so, I think it was an exceptional year, and I'm definitely looking forward to what 2025 has to offer. But this was Control Issues. This was the Trollies. I am the
ABC. We are Control Issues. Thanks for playing. Sucker.